Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
The night Jesus was born, there was a lot of people there, but there was one person in particular that was out in the hills just sitting there watching his sheep. And his big question to himself and to God was, why was he picked to observe this? See the little stranger. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Prince of Peace. The wheel started turning, the torches they start burning. The old wise man, they journeyed from the east. How a little baby boy, he brought the people just so much joy. The son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. For this must be Christmas, must be tonight. A shepherd on a hillside, while over my flock I bide, on a cold winter's night, a band of angels sing. In a dream I heard a voice say, fear not, come rejoice. It's the end of the beginning, praise the newborn king. It's how a little baby boy, he brought the people just so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. I saw it with my own eyes. It was written up in the sky. While a simple herdsman, such as I. And then it came to pass that he was born at last. Right below the star that shines, shines on high. How a little baby boy, he brought the people just so much joy. The son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight. tonight. Must be tonight. Must be tonight.
Thank you, John. We all benefited. Look at that. Kat is going to come and help me. If you would raise your hand and want to share a word of praise or prayer request, she'll see that. Bring the mic to you. I'll write it down and have it be a part of my prayer.
I have two things that I would like to say. First of all, the holidays are, you know, wonderful and everything, but sometimes they're hard for people, just with a lot of loss, and then, you know, people that aren't here, and, you know, that can be a struggle. So I'd like to keep that in everybody's prayers. And then also, I know a lot of you probably know Leanne, and if you've seen that she got engaged, and that's such a happy, like, blessing. I'm so happy for her. So praise God. Thanks.
I just want to give a praise to see Millie here today. It's been a long time since she's been able to come to church, so praise God.
I know this is the time of year for college students to be cramming for some finals for their end of their first semester. I have four children, grandchildren actually, in college, and I've talked to a couple of them, and a couple of them are a little bit nervous, and a couple of them are way okay with this and looking forward to their break time. So please keep them in your prayers. I know there's many, many of us that are affected with our children, grandchildren, doing finals. Thank you.
Just asking for traveling mercies for anyone that's traveling over the holidays, John and I included.
I had a very dear friend, Maxine Close, that passed away, and within a week, her 69-year-old son died, so that family is doubly grieving, and I would ask for prayers for them. Thank you.
I just would like to ask for some prayers for this week. Bob has some appointments for some tests this week, and it's always a little trying, so I just pray that you'll remember him in your prayers.
Prayers for my Sarah. She has cancer surgery this coming Tuesday.
I just wanted to ask for prayers for my grandma and grandpa because they're going to Phoenix and it's a 2-day drive.
I'd just like to say that with Christmas time and commercialism, that Christmas is not about Santa Claus, and it's not about Frosty the Snowman. Christmas is in fact a birthday celebration and the birth of our Lord and Savior into this world. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat. Join me in prayer. O Lord our God, you are most high. You are the great King over all the earth. We come acknowledge you, knowing that you are here with us. Your presence, your love, your spirit has united us, is in us, and we thank you, Lord, for this day and a time to gather and worship you and worship together. You are a God that has subdued nations. You are a God that has an inheritance for us. Lord, we praise you with trumpet sounds. We sing words of praises from our lips. Praises to you, our King, for you are the great King over all the earth. Lord, we know that you reign over all the nations, that you are seated on a holy throne, and all the kings of the earth belong to you, God, for you are the great exalted King who rules. And we just pray for our world, your world, Lord, for peace, for ending of conflict amongst nations, those that are at war, those that are bent on destruction, Lord. I just ask for those nations that feel and will, and as we do, Lord, to protect the people, that would happen, and God, that you would just ring in people's hearts ongoing. This time of year, as it's a time of celebration, we recognize that it can be hard for some. For many, it will be the first Christmas without a loved one, so we just ask for comfort and peace, words of memory as they think about who that is in their life, that joy could come in the moment. As people travel, we ask for traveling mercies. A number of individuals that have been named here that are traveling, and others unnamed also, even if it's across the city, Lord, that you would just watch over us on the roads and keep us alert as drivers. For this recent double loss for the Maxine family, Lord, for her, as she has passed away and her son then so quickly afterwards, we ask for a unique touch upon them as a family. To know that you can provide hope in the midst of hardship. We thank you for answered prayers with prayers that have been said in the past and just evidence of those answers. To have Millie here with us, we ask for ongoing comfort for her and ease of pain, and continue to bless her and Al and us as we benefit from their friendship and love. Lift up Sarah and her cancer surgery on Tuesday, that would go well, Lord, that the cancer would be eradicated, that the surgeons can do what they want to do, and Sarah's body would be sustained through it, that you give strength and then healing afterwards. Lift up college students this time of year as they are studying and anticipating and ready for exams, and that they would be able to be confident and just that it would go well for them. And then a great break, Lord, and whatever the plans are, to be back with family, that you would bless that time together, and that they be renewed and ready for what's ahead, whether it's graduating or the next semester. Be with Bob as he goes through tests, Lord. May that be helpful for his medical team to understand what's happening and what needs to happen, strengthen his body, and Kathy as well, as they are doing that together. We thank you for the fun, good news for Leanne Peterson and her recent engagement. We look forward to hearing from her in a couple of months. Lord, that bless her time in Ukraine still during the holiday season, and that you would empower her ministry, Lord, to make a great impact upon the people as they have built those bridges and have those relationships, and now this time of year to really work in a powerful way, that people would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We lift up these other families that are grieving the loss of loved ones, Joan Johnson family with the funeral tomorrow, Margaret Nelson family, that was funeral on Friday, and pray for comfort. Lord, as they hear who you are and who you want to be in their lives, that people would embrace that, that people would deepen their faith in you, and for those that maybe have yet to decide that, that they would choose that for them, that they would understand what Christmas is all about, a birthday celebration of our Savior Jesus. And so we pray in his name all these things. Amen. Amen. Kids are dismissed. I had you stick around because I needed someone to pass the mic. Could have had Trevor do it again. Joy. We have the song, Joy to the World. We want joy in our lives. When we say joy, what is it that we are trying to express just in that word? What is that word trying to express? Is it just another word for happiness? I don't think so. When we say joy, we mean more than having a feeling of happiness. It is to have great delight, to take pleasure, to be glad. Perhaps joy is a feeling of elation. When we use the word elation, that seems to express more than just being happy. Brené Brown is a research social scientist and a professor who studies emotions, and she has defined joy in this way: an intense feeling of deep spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. That's a nice definition of joy, and it works for me. While describing joy may be hard to do, we know the feeling when we have it. We know what joy feels like. Often, we think that an experience, going through something, experiencing something, brings joy, which it does, but we can also experience joy with just news. Think about joy if you were to hear the following news: Packers win. Notice I couldn't say Vikings win. Snow day. School is canceled. Now, depending who you are, that either brings joy or... We're pregnant. He got the job. We're getting a puppy. Luke Bryan is having a concert in town. She got the raise. We sold the house. We bought the house. I'll be home for Christmas. These are some of just a few examples of big life headlines that just hearing the news would bring joy. Our passage today is just a few verses actually from our reading of the Advent candle, Luke 2, 10 through 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The angel is bringing good news that will cause great joy. In this case, the news brings joy and the event, the person, will bring joy. In our Advent series, we are looking at the good gifts that Jesus brings us. As we look at these good gifts, we are also looking at who God is as the gift giver and who we are as the gift receiver. And the gift that we're focusing on today is the gift of joy. And we see that with this gift of joy, we learn that God is a generous gift giver. Turning to a story in John 2, we look at this story as an example of how God is a generous gift giver and a giver of joy. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus said, Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jugs, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. When he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here, this is verse 11, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. No more wine means no more fun. Now, I'm not doing like a deep dive in the Greek and an exegetical study on was wine alcoholic in the New Testament? Was there alcohol? Was there no alcohol? I can just say right now that the Bible is pretty clear about alcohol. We're not to be drunk or even tipsy. Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. But as we think about wine and drink and food, the universal entity to liven up any social gathering across all cultures of all time is good food and good drink. Whether it is a wedding or birthday party or Christmas gathering or sitting at the table after a church service, good food and a nice beverage, whether it's coffee or tea or wine or Mountain Dew, helps enhance the experience. Food and drink bring joy. Jesus could have turned the water into coffee if it was a different culture. So the emphasis isn't what the water became, but why? Why did Jesus perform the miracle? Reading the story, it seems like he wants no part of it initially. Mary, Jesus' mother, comes to him and tells him the situation. There's no more wine. Jesus responds, "And you're telling me this because..." Then she says, "Do whatever he says." Remember, Mary knows who Jesus is before anyone else. Before anyone else knew who Jesus was, Mary knew who Jesus was. The angel had visited her some 30 or 31 years earlier and said to her, "Greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High." Jesus knew who her son was and said, "Do whatever he says." Even though it seems at one point that Jesus was not going to get involved in what for him was a problem for his mother, he does. He does get involved because of who Jesus is. He is the one who brings joy. He is the one that gives so that others may have joy in their life in the experience of life. He is performing one of many miracles. This is the start. This is one of many miracles that he performs that shows us the kingdom of God. The wedding is a joyous occasion to be celebrated with the fruit of God's earthly provisions. That is why he turns the water into wine. And apparently, not the cheap stuff. Looking again at the reaction from the master of the banquet, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Our human tendency is to stop giving the good stuff. Okay, you've had enough. No more for you. Here's the cheap stuff. This is not God. God says, here is the really good stuff. God says, there is more for you to enjoy. God says, there is more joy for you ahead. Do you limit your gift giving? Limit the cost for what you will spend on an individual, or limit the total amount you will spend each Christmas? You might say, this Christmas I'm going to spend $100. I have $100 to buy gifts for all of my loved ones, or $500, or $1,000, or $100 per person. We, of course, naturally have a limit. Naturally, we have a limit. It's a budget. We're going to go by the budget. And this is actually good financial practice. I have heard stories of some parents keeping track to the penny of how much they spend on their children in order that their children do not feel like one is favored or loved more than the other. And as the parents' practice was, is the kids would get their gifts, and they would have tallied how much each one was, and then some of the children would have an envelope with money if their gift was less than their brothers or sisters. So they opened the toy truck, and then an envelope of $3.87, because we just want it all to be even. We love you all equally. Does it feel like God loves some people more than you? We can look at their life, look at what they have, and wonder, why doesn't God love me like he loves them? I sure could use a fill in the blank. First off, we are only seeing part of their life. When we look at people's lives from a distance, we do not see the hard stuff, the suffering, the pain. All those parts of life are usually hidden. Second, that very same person that you are looking at and wondering, why doesn't God love me as much as he loves them, maybe saying the exact same thing about you, looking at your life and saying, why doesn't God love me as much as they, as much as God loves that person? It's funny how our human mind and emotions work sometimes. God loves each person equally and will give generously to each person. So let us slow down and be cautious about looking at another person's life and think that God loves them more. He does not. When we start to compare our life to others, thinking God loves them more, what is happening in a person, what is happening in us when we do that, is we are having a feeling of entitlement. There is an interesting aspect of gift giving. The gifts do not have to be given. That is an interesting aspect of gift giving. They don't actually have to be given. That's what makes it a gift. Christmas gift, birthday gift, anniversary gift, pastor appreciation gift, hey, I'm glad you're in my life gift. Whatever the occasion, the gift does not have to be given. Have you ever had a Christmas without giving or receiving a gift? I would imagine for most of us, if not all of us, the answer is no. And I acknowledge that there may be some here that would be true. But for most folks, we cannot imagine a Christmas without exchanging gifts. This is what we do. Christmas means gifts. Christmas means Jesus' birth. Jesus is the gift. Because God gave, then we give. I was on a visit a few weeks ago when I asked the person that I was with if they were looking forward to Christmas. And they said, no. After a slight pause and a moment of silence, they continued, I don't know what to give people. Christmas was no longer a day of celebration, but instead, for this person, a day of dread. The person felt obligated to give gifts, and because they didn't know what to give, they were not looking forward to Christmas. There is a difference between a gift freely given, one that comes out of a sense of excitement and love, versus giving out of a sense of obligation. Jesus, as the gift giver, never feels any obligation to give. And perhaps this is our misunderstanding that we have about Jesus and about God. A common mindset is, Jesus, you owe me. Why don't you, again, fill in the blank for me? In this story about water into wine, we see Jesus does not feel obligated to give a gift with his initial response. And you are telling me this because... And yet, Jesus does give a good gift because he is a generous giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. In order to give on any level, one must be generous on some level. To give a great gift means the gift giver is greatly generous. So let us not come to the conclusion that God lacks generosity when we don't see, when we don't get what we want, what we ask for. Because sometimes as gift receivers, we're just feeling entitled. It's Christmas, time for my gifts. It's birthday, it's my birthday, time for my gifts. Sometimes we feel that God or others should be gifting us items. And when we have a sense of entitlement, a sense of being owed, of having a right to whatever that gift would be, we will often lack joy when receiving the gift. I think there's a direct correlation. The greater the sense of entitlement that we have when receiving a gift, the lesser the joy that we will feel. When we give gifts, it is fun to see the joy in our loved ones when they open the gift. There is a part of us that wants them to feel that love, to be surprised, to have a sense of undeserving. Just think of the response of a 16-year-old in your life, and you bought them a brand new truck. They would say, did you really just give me a brand new truck? There would be joy unending. I'm trying, Trevor. I'm trying. Sorry, it's a no already, so don't, yeah. What is the best gift that you have received? One that you know was coming, or one that was a surprise? Was the best gift that you ever received one that you bought for yourself, or one that you maybe mentioned once in a casual conversation, and it was just a far-off dream, never thinking anyone in your family member would buy it, or even maybe even heard you say it, but then did? My guess is the best gift that you've received is one that you did not think you would get. There was no sense of entitlement, which meant you felt joy at a deep, deep level when you received that gift. What if 2024 was the best year of your life? What if 2024 was the best year for Bethel Covenant Church? No way. How can that be? Last year was, or 2019 was, or 2005 was, or 1947. Now that was the best year of my life. God was so good to me that there's no way he's going to be that good to me again. If that is your mindset, then you are missing out on the nature of God. Joy is yours to be felt in every year of your life, in every part of your life, no matter the circumstances of your life. People may not think the best is yet to come because of certain circumstances in their life. There's this, and there's that, and there's this, and life is just way too hard right now. If that is true for you, well, I'm glad you're here today to hear the good news. And the good news is, just like peace is not connected to our circumstances, just like hope is not connected to our circumstances, joy is not connected to our circumstances. Hope, peace, joy is connected to Jesus. Joy comes because of our connection to Jesus, not because of what is happening in our life. Someone may have the perfect life, and yet without Jesus, they do not have joy. Someone else may have a very tough life right now, and as we would look at their life, we would think there is no way that they can have joy, and yet they do. They do have joy. And the reason why they have joy is because they are connected to Jesus. All they have is their daily bread. That's it. And they are so joyful. It isn't the amount of stuff in our life that brings joy. It is Jesus who brings joy, who gives joy. Not everyone was filled with joy at the news of the Messiah, that the Messiah was coming, that he was born. When Herod heard that the king of Jews was going to be born, he pretended to be interested, but his intentions were evil. He was filled with fear, filled with jealousy. He was filled with hate. He had no intention of letting Jesus change his life. Herod wanted to be the one who rules. Herod wanted to be the one in power. Herod wanted to be the one who dictates his life. He liked his life the way it was, and he was not interested in letting some baby, a Jewish king, ruin all of that. If that is your mindset, then yeah, the news of Jesus being born is not good news. It is not news that brings joy. But to the shepherds, to those people who are ready and willing to open their lives to God, who were waiting for God's rule, waiting for God's kingdom, this was good news. This was news that brought great joy. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. May you be filled with joy at that news this day and this week. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, for the generosity of your character, for the ways that you give us. All good gifts come from you. Work in our lives, work in my life, Lord, that I would not feel entitled, that I would let go any sense of being owed by you, so that I may have joy with the gifts that you give as you give them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.